Next on Speak Up.
Right. I never thought it would happen to me. You know, I was a happy kid. Mm-hmm. I was always laughing and smiling and talking. I was very energetic. And then I turned 27. It was winter.
It all starts right now.
81% of parents don't think,
they don't think
dating violence is a problem.
Right.
What you're going through, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this.
It is not always well. Sex is not the sin, and sex is not the problem.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't mess that up.
I think as women, we have a lot of things to do. We multitask, so that's why we have to control.
Do you feel sad, empty, and hopeless most of the day, nearly every day? Have you lost interest or pleasure in your hobbies or in being with friends and family? Are you having trouble sleeping, eating, and functioning? If you have felt this way for at least 2 weeks, you may have depression. Depression affects more than 300 million people of all ages globally, and it is the leading cause of disability worldwide. Sadly, twice as many women are affected by depression than men. Can it be prevented? Can we overcome it? That is what we will speak up about. Women are twice as much, you know, more susceptible to this, to depression. So,
I never thought it would happen to me.
Right.
I never thought it would happen to me. You know, I was a happy kid. Mm-hmm. I was always laughing and smiling and talking. I was very energetic. Mm-hmm. And then I turned 27. It was winter.
So it was later.
Later in life.
Not early.
There had nothing been leading up to it either. And
your parents weren't like depressed, or any of your families were depressed?
No history. More situational of it. Type? Mm-hmm.
I've been diagnosed with clinical depression.
Got it.
And what you described in your intro, Katya, is exactly how I felt. Mm-hmm. It's a sense of hopelessness. Mm-hmm. You have nothing brings you pleasure. Mm-hmm. Nothing lifts your spirits. It can be a very, very dark place.
Debilitating.
Did somebody reach out to you? Or how did you realize this was not normal?
Well, number one, I'm very blessed to have people in my family who are in the medical field. Mm-hmm. And they
noticed and picked it up.
They were very, very supportive, very loving. But I got medical treatment fairly soon.
Mm-hmm.
I was treated with medication and with counseling, with therapy. Mm-hmm. And 2 years out, I'm doing really, really well. Mm-hmm. And with continued therapy, they tell me that I may never experience that again.
Right. So you're still taking medication, or you
feel,
okay, good. So
I am.
It kind of leveled off whatever it was, and now you have more energy and you're sleeping better.
Right, and now I share about it with anybody who will listen, who I think might be able to benefit from it, because it's a very lonely place.
Yeah.
It's a very lonely place.
But did you do something else aside from like just taking any medication? Like, did you change your lifestyle, do some more exercise?
When you're in the midst of it, when you're right in the middle of depression, you don't want to do anything.
You don't have energy.
I actually literally, I'll be very honest, my mom would have to help me get up and help me shower.
See, she had what we call major depression, which is really, it really impairs you to the point that getting out of bed takes a huge effort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Choosing what you're going to wear, you know, those
you
little things that we do, all the decisions that we
make,
you
takes
for granted.
Did anybody tell you to pray about it? And that was the end of their 2 cents and left?
Yes, but I was fortunate that most people said, I am praying for you.
Okay.
That was what was most powerful in
you
my life.
They care.
Because when you are in the middle of a deep depression, you don't feel anything.
Yeah,
I couldn't pray for myself. You're numb. But I knew that other people were praying for me.
And that gave you comfort.
And that gave me
See, this
comfort.
Is so important that oftentimes people don't understand. Somebody that would say, well, if you pray about it, God can change what you're feeling.
Because I got that.
You did.
You need to pray about
it.
Yeah. When I have shared with you guys, too, that I went through a bout of depression.
Right.
That was 26 years ago. People were not as, they didn't know as much as they know today. But I was told, pray about it. And evidently, you know, being, I choose to believe, I am a believer. But at a time, I things were so bleak, mm-hmm. I was not in the position just to think objectively, well, right. let me just pray about it. Thank God that somebody else came along, and I had had the experience of losing my father to suicide. Right. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm praying about it, but I'm also off to the psychiatrist.
You knew that you yes. could right. get right. help mm-hmm. by a professional, mm-hmm. and this is very critical. Yeah, unfortunately, there's some myths around depression, and that is one of them, that, you know, if you're a person of faith, if you believe in God, you shouldn't feel depressed, you shouldn't feel bad, and, you know, that doesn't go together. And oftentimes, you know, I remember speaking to an elder at a church, it was a female elder, and she said, you know, I came to the point almost nearly of killing myself. Mm-hmm. This is a woman of faith, full of dedication to ministry and, mm-hmm. and praying. And she said, what kept me actually, mm-hmm. in her case, she said, what really kept me from doing that was prayer. I was right. just like hanging on, please help me, Lord. Mm-hmm. And he gave her strength at that point. She was taking medication, but then they changed medications mm-hmm. and everything. Mm-hmm. And then she felt more stabilized.
Right.
So it happens yeah,
of
with
course.
People.
And when you come out of that and you feel right. you are, that's a good word, stabilized,
yeah. right.
then certainly. But yeah. when you are in the deep, dark place. You're
dark.
Not yourself.
It's just dark.
You're not
yeah.
yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad that
your countenance changes, yes. too. Yeah. Like, your countenance changes. Like, when you're in that deep, dark place of depression, if you look at yourself, you look more drawn.
Yeah.
You know, your
yeah.
face looks drawn, and you're not yourself. You don't want to move and get up. And don't say interact with people. That's
no.
not
possible.
Yeah,
that's
a withdrawal.
The thing.
Yeah. That's
possible.
The other thing. Did you feel like you want to isolate yourself
mm-hmm.
and just be
yeah,
quiet?
You know what? You're, when, mm-hmm. when you're in that place and people come around, you know what? It feels like pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just feel this adds pressure.
To the, right.
If you're alone, mm-hmm. you don't feel good, but there's not that sense of pressure that you need to be happy or talking or interacting.
Because you have to be exerting. And you already don't have that energy to exert to begin with because you're depressed. And
exactly.
with people around you, you don't have that energy to
And anybody
talk.
Who has a loved one who uh-huh. is depressed or has a history of depression, mm-hmm. you need to know that sometimes it's okay to just sit there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, what was helpful for you, like that your family did, your friends did? Would they invite you to go out and do things or just...
Once in a while, my mom or my grandmother would come get me and just take me to their house just so that I had a different environment. That was
Got
helpful,
it.
But they didn't
mm-hmm.
push me to do something that just took a lot of energy. And sometimes it literally was just sitting with me and just feeling their hand in mm-hmm. my hand.
Right. Just the presence, knowing mm-hmm. that they cared.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something that's very important. Oftentimes we say the wrong things mm-hmm. and we want to perhaps get people, well, how come? You know, let me get you out of bed.
Get up. Get
me,
some
yeah.
sunshine.
Know,
come on.
You know,
right.
And that way, by doing that, I know you're trying to help, but sometimes
right.
you're minimized of what that person is going through.
Absolutely.
So it
yeah.
may not be the right
Sometimes
thing
you need
to do.
The yeah. process of kind of just sitting.
Yeah.
You know, you have to get through certain phases of it.
But again, I just want to point out for those who are listening, yes, I was just sitting, and yes, they were being quiet, but I was also being treated by a medical
okay.
professional.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
weren't just leaving
yes.
me alone.
Right.
I was
they were actually
the
proactive.
Yes.
And this
yeah.
is
yeah.
something that sometimes we can do, too, is just make sure, let's mm-hmm. get you to someone
yes.
who can help.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't have the energy to go, you know, sometimes someone like you who is willing, you can actually get help that way. So we have with us today an expert that can help us answer some of the questions we have on depression. This is Dr. Julian Melgosa. He is a psychologist, an educator, and an author. Dr. Melgosa, thank you for being with us today. And you heard our conversation. Oftentimes, people may have a difficulty differentiating depression from just being sad or having a season of sadness in their life. Can you help us differentiate? How do we know the difference between the two?
Well, everybody is subject to some sad days
yeah,
and
you wake up sometimes, right?
feelings and experiences yeah. that, you know, make you feel bad. That's not depression. Depression has to stay the whole day for several days, up to at least 2 weeks, with a set of symptoms. And that is when depression happens. However, there can be just a few symptoms, less than necessary to diagnose, but that is a attention calling message so that you do something about it.
So
before
what
it
are, say, the hallmarks, like top 4 or 5 symptoms that people should look for, maybe the most common ones?
Yeah, well, it has to be some deep sadness that remains with you most of the day, the whole day for you know, that is a feature one, as well as loss of interest for anything that normally interests you.
Okay.
One of those two underneath the other five, and they're listed nine in the DSM-5. So things that have to do with eating behaviors, eating too much, eating too little, losing weight, gaining weight, sleeping problems, either too much sleep or too little sleep, problems with movement, retardation, or a lot of hyperactivity, then thinking issues, thinking about yourself inferior, thinking about sometimes death or suicide, and being with a low motivation in general.
So lots of things. And we have a lot of questions to understand this a little better. We are going to take a short break, but when we come back, our Speak Up friends will join me and we will ask more questions about depression to Dr. Mogul. So don't go away. We are speaking up about depression, and Dr. Julia Melgosa is helping us today. Dr. Melgosa, you mentioned several symptoms that can be very helpful for us to identify. You said lack of pleasure and a deep sadness without explanation. Tell me something. If somebody loses a loved one, they may also feel that way. How can we differentiate depression from just the loss of a loved one or grief?
It is very similar, and only up until the latest edition of the DSM-5, it has been allowed to make the diagnosis of depression after the loss of a dear one.
Oh,
now
okay.
It is permitted. It used to be that
it was dismissed.
You know, if the symptoms are right after they lost, you don't count as depression. Now there are differentiating factors.
So it's not just that there's no cause. There could be a cause, like you lost a loved one
and
you still go through those symptoms. Then
you
can still be experiencing depression.
Yes. In fact, a very classic and also useful definition of depression is a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you lose something, it can be something material. You can lose your house in a fire, or you can lose
Your job.
Mm-hmm. You can lose something material, but also if you lose face in some cultures,
that is big in Asian cultures,
right.
And you're the one of the Philippines, some of the.
Or you may lose your dignity, mm-hmm. and that you know may initiate depression. So it doesn't explain everything, but it's a useful definition as loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So loss is a cause. Now, for women, as we were saying earlier, it looks like we are twice as much kind of vulnerable or increased risk for depression.
Right.
Why? Is that
there
a cause?
There are causes that have to do with social factors, and that's probably the most important one. And there are causes that have to do with biological factors.
Okay.
The biological ones are associated with birth. You know, after birth, the postpartum depression, the menopause time.
Because of the change of hormones, it creates a risk time.
Yes, because of the change of hormones. But those accounts for even 20% of the difference. The main difference has to do with how women have to face stress and difficulties and expectations.
So many roles.
Victims of abuse, societies that do not value women or treat women very badly, people that are especially hard on women,
mm-hmm.
And then the expectations of having to juggle so many times as mothers,
so many tasks,
workers, and wives and you know, all those things that are not typical in men.
So society can in some ways contribute then to that if there is inequality, as you pointed out, if there is abuse. I have seen, you know, in my patients, when I see patients oftentimes asking, going through, you know, the assessment, people that have a history of child abuse, sexual abuse, some kind of traumatic event early in their childhood,
right.
It can demonstrate and you know, manifest itself as depression.
My depression didn't fit any of those boxes,
huh?
Though. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if that makes me odd or if you could explain a little bit. I mean, to be in your mid to late 20s, mm-hmm. and not have anything tragic mm-hmm. happen, mm-hmm. and like I said, I'd been a typically upbeat person. I don't think there was any concrete logical, this is why this happened.
So you said no family history?
No family history.
Is it also like hereditary?
Yeah, it is hereditary.
But it doesn't have to be all the time,
no,
right?
No, it doesn't have. So, it's a matter of risk. What level of risk do you have? Obviously, you don't know of any, and things happened. It had to do with chemical imbalance because if there is no apparent social reason. And sometimes age comes to a time when, teenage is an area, a time when there is more risk. Mm-hmm. And after marriage, you know, I don't know if you got married.
Another area of high
risk, menopause is another one. And then we tend to forget, but old age is another one. Because people have to face death, have to face a disability.
Mm-hmm. Loss of autonomy.
And loss of dear ones, because the older you get, the more friends and family you have lost.
Yeah. So I was going to say
that events like that, he asked you if you had gotten married. Sometimes, when you start something, usually it's because something no longer is happening in your life. So there's also a loss every time when you start something
change.
New. There's change, right?
Yeah.
So I have my youngest daughter raised in a very loving home with a lot of love and care. But for her, it was really hard to transition from being a teenager, early 20s, into coming of age. Mm-hmm. Oh, now I am an adult. Now I need to work. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing wrong with her upbringing. Yes, there are some hereditary things in there that we have to consider. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but nothing. But that change alone triggered something in her.
Yeah, isn't that it's stress, right? We know stress, as you mentioned, is one of the risk factors. So if there's stress in a relationship or stress at work
or transition.
Transition, like some school way.
I remember high school to college, though it was very exciting, it was very stressful, and it can cause some depression for people because it's a big social change. It's an academic change. It's a personal change because the whole flow of high school is different than the flow of college.
But is there always a chemical imbalance, no matter what the cause? Is there always a chemical imbalance that needs to be treated by medication?
Apparently, there is always.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It can be the cause, or it could be the consequence as well. Mm-hmm. In other words, once you start living through those symptoms, it brings a stress that creates the imbalance as well. Okay. That is why it's so important to not only focus on medication, but also on behavioral and cognitive mm-hmm. techniques that will help the imbalance to be naturally balanced.
So tell us a little bit about that, Dr. Milgosa. What things can we do to then, as you're just saying, lifestyle has to be part of the picture. Mm-hmm. And medications, many people are afraid sometimes to go to see a specialist because they're thinking, I'm going to have medications and they're all going to want to give me drugs, and sometimes it is important, right? But it's not the only.
Right.
So tell us about
I would
that.
Point three pillars in the treatment. Mm-hmm. The first one is the pharmacological treatment. If there is a crisis of this, usually one has to go to the doctor, the psychiatrist, to get some medication to stabilize so that, the risk of suicide and getting the things worse doesn't happen. Then there is a matter of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Things that you do to counterbalance depression. And the first thing that comes to mind, because it's the most effective one, is physical exercise.
That was huge for me.
And, of course, if there is
no... It helps you, too. Yeah.
It's a
problem. My mom would force me to walk up and down the driveway a couple times every day.
That's right, because there's no motivation. If I don't have energy to get out of bed, how can I start, running for five miles?
So she picked me up and did it with me.
You have to have someone. It's very important to have someone helping. So...
That's the second.
A diet, so on. The second. And the third one would be psychotherapy. Mm-hmm. So the cognitive behavioral therapy is the most effective for depression, has been found to be effective in nearly 80% of the cases. And it has to work with the way you think mm-hmm. and the way you act and you mm-hmm. govern your behaviors. And you learn various strategies of thinking. It has been discovered that people under depression have a peculiar thinking style, being negative, being anxious, judging things out of proportion, perfectionism, and those things have to be corrected. The moment you catch yourself thinking in those way, you have something prepared to substitute. You have already something in place, and that is very useful.
Thank you so much, Dr. Melgoza. So we know there are three things that we can do to have hope and overcome depression. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Dr. Melgoza. For more information, visit our website, hopetv.org/speakup. There you can find more resources and also download our Speak Up notes on depression. This is an easy resource to share with your friends and with your family. Also, send us your comments and your questions. Keep the conversation going with us on Facebook. When we come back, the Word of God will speak up on you. Stick around. We are speaking up about depression and how to recognize and treat it. So that was a very interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm, very
informative. We discussed different things related to treatment. Now, both of you shared that you have had that. How did that work for you? Medication, did you have any side effects?
You deal with it, right?
Yeah.
I think Sarah had to switch more than once, didn't you, to find the right?
No, actually, right off the bat, it worked for me. The very first antidepressant I tried, it really worked for me. Within 2 weeks, it usually takes longer than that.
Yeah, usually we say a month, yeah.
But okay. I was back to myself.
All right, ma'am.
And I started going to therapy, and I was feeling so well. And I said, I don't need time for that. I need to take care of my
big
therapy. But it worked really well. And worked well for a while. And I said, I'm going to wean off of it. And I wasn't able to because of it being a chemistry. You have some side effects when you start weaning off of it. So I wasn't able to. I wait a few more years and then I tried again. And then menopause came in and I said, okay.
Menopause fixed it all?
No, it did not.
Many women feel more depression.
Right,
exactly.
Menopause came and came with the 20 extra pounds. I said, I don't like that. So, it correlated with the antidepressants may help you gain
weight.
But
let's be honest, any side effect from a medication, I'm sorry, cannot be worse than being in that mindset.
State of mind.
So sometimes it's worth it to give it some time and want to work with your doctor.
Very important.
But there may be some side effects, but they're not going to be any worse than being
in feeling
the dark
symptoms.
Space
When I counsel patients on that, sometimes it takes a little longer than 2 weeks, than a month. Sometimes you do need to change medication because of the side effects. I have patients sometimes that they are not sleeping because of the medication. So that might be a different medication.
That happened to me. I'm taking a medication that most people would take during the day, in the morning. I take mine at night. My doctor had never seen that before. But, we're all different.
That's what
you've got to work with your doctor.
So the only thing is you have to be patient.
That's right.
And don't give up and say, I started this medication. I'm not feeling better. Let me just stop it. It doesn't work. No. As you said, go to your doctor, talk to your doctor. If you're watching us today and you've tried more than one medication, just be patient. And give it time. And maybe if needed, you can always switch. There are many medications nowadays with very minimum side effects.
And when you're ready and you try again with the help of a doctor, you do it along with the professional.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You will be able to. After 26 years, I was able to wean off my medication.
So you're no longer taking it.
No, I haven't. I would not, and it was really a wonderful transition because I had no side effects.
Good.
And so I am a proponent of taking the medication when you need
it.
A proponent of saying, when you feel that you're ready, along with a professional.
You can make a decision
to stop.
And the other thing, too, and I don't know if it happened to you, remember, he also mentioned the lifestyle. So if you also add, once you start feeling better, if you add to your routine, if you were not already, exercise daily, sleep, coordinate your sleep patterns because that can also impact your chemistry in your brain. Some foods, make sure you have a nutritious diet, not junk food.
And I think that's where people can help the most. If you're sitting out there and wondering, I know someone like this, I have a friend, I have a spouse, what can I do? Cook. Mm-hmm. Cook for
cook
them.
Healthy
cook
foods.
Healthy foods.
Yes.
And when they're ready, help them get outside. And like I said, all my mom did was make me walk up and down the driveway several times. That was it. But it was being out in that fresh air and just moving a little bit that lifted my spirit.
Yeah.
And then lastly, he talked about the power of positive thinking. And I think some people think that's cliche and that it doesn't work, it does. When you go through therapy and you understand that as a negative thought comes in, you very quickly say, no, I know that's not true. This is what's true.
Yeah. And the Bible helps us to see, to do that, doesn't it?
It does. Because what I was just about to say was, playing certain music or pumping certain things into your mind, the audio Bible is one, you know, then there's certain inspirational music that can help you as well. But the Bible obviously speaks on how the Lord cares, how the Lord is interested.
And he corrects our thinking.
And he corrects our thoughts. Yeah, he is interested at all points in our lives. And so, Erica, since this is such a dear subject to you, can you share our verse?
Yeah. It's Psalm 34:17, and it says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them.
Yes.
He delivers them from all their troubles. And I certainly know that to be true.
So you experience that. I find it beautiful because, as you were saying, you know, the positive thinking, you know, the correction of the distortions in our brain, the Bible, the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches what? All truth, what we really should believe, and what are true thoughts. And it can help us to then focus on things that are of virtue, things that are, as in Philippians, you know, that other beautiful verse that said things of praise, you know, that is what you should focus your mind to. And God is certainly willing and there with us.
And if you allow him, if you allow him and you're open to it, he will also use whatever you've been through, he will use it for good and to touch other people. When I share my story, when I share my story with girls who are really struggling and feeling really down, and they think she went through that,
because there's nothing like hearing a story from someone who's lived it.
Yeah.
So if someone else says, oh, you can make it, don't worry, they're like, well, you don't know what
you don't
this
know.
Feels
That's
like.
Right. Right. I
but
can
hearing
say,
it from one of you who's like, I have been in the darkest place, I know it.
I went through
then
it, I got through
up
it.
Loud
then it speaks
volumes.
It was
volumes. A great discussion. If you are experiencing signs and symptoms of depression, such as deep sadness, lack of pleasure, sleep disturbances, or you're disinterested in prayer, you have lack of concentration reading your Bible, or for no reason you seem to have lost pleasure in things you used to enjoy, talk to your health provider for an evaluation. Remember, there is hope for depression. Visit our website as well. There you'll find resources and you can download our Speak Up notes on depression. You can do a self-screening test and find out if the symptoms you have are indeed related to depression or not. Share that Speak Up notes with your friends and with your family. If you would like prayer, prayer partners are available to pray with you. Call 1-888-446-7388 and keep the conversation going with us. We'd love to hear your story. Send your questions. We will see you next time to speak up on issues that matter for your whole health and your happiness.